Mary in Haste by Wendy Richards, Tank Wilson, and R.L. As read by R.L. Part 1. Wendy's Comments. This story started life as a simple, uncomplicated birthday fic. Our favorite curmudgeonly writer of Waffy Fic had announced that it was his birthday, and he even posted a fic for himself. I thought that he deserved to have someone write a story for him, and I even gave him what I thought surely would have to be the perfect ending. Yes, fans, Tank Wilson finally ends up with the woman of his dreams. But then it seemed that Tank wanted more, and so he wrote a sequel to his own birthday story. And that was the point at which all heck broke loose, for RL decided to get in on the action. By this time, I was too busy laughing to contribute in any way, so I just sat on the sidelines while Tank and RL played ping-pong with the story. And how did it all end up? Well, I'll leave it for you discerning readers to find out for yourselves. Tank, RL, it's been a blast working with you, even if it was unintentional. Tank's comments. It wasn't my fault. That's my story and I'm standing by it. It was all done in complete innocence. Wendy wrote a cute little fic honoring an old man getting older, but being Wendy, she couldn't quite let it go. She had to add that part with the long hair. So naturally, I had to write an epilogue just to fix the error she had made. Then came Roger. I think his two additions to this, whatever you can call it, show his true colors. Some might think that his final epilogue might have led to a happy ending, but if one looks closely and gives it some real thought, they will see through his blatant smokescreen. There can be only one conclusion. Roger is evil. RL's comments. I'll have to blame my involvement in this story on Wendy. One day on IRC, we were discussing her birthday fic for Tank, when she said that she had come very close to blowing everything up, but decided against it at the last minute. I commented how interesting that would be, so Wendy challenged me to write a fic that does blow up things. Well, never one to shirk from a challenge. I wrote Chapter 3 following Tank's far too waffy Chapter 2. I figured Tank wouldn't want his own birthday fic to be missing his favorite ingredient, whams. He then outdid even himself in Chapter 4, so I had to rescue him from his own keyboard in the final epilogue. Hopefully, everyone approves of my solution. As a fairly new writer, I'm awed to find myself in collaboration with these two wonderful writers, however unintentional at the beginning. Perhaps someday it could happen again. Who knows? Chapter 1. He loves me, he loves me not. Lois Lane paced up and down in her bedroom, a tormented expression on her face. Was she doing the right thing? She had absolutely no idea. Nothing had gone right from the day Lex Luthor had proposed. She'd been flattered at first. Of course she had. Who wouldn't have been? The third richest man in the world wanted her, Lois Lane, brilliant reporter but otherwise pretty ordinary cosmopolitan city woman, to be his wife. But did she really want to be his wife? 2 months later, she still had no real answer to that question. She'd accepted his proposal, if she was honest with herself, purely on the rebound. And this required even more honesty as an act of defiance, in the hope that he would realize just what he'd thrown away, and that he'd come crawling to her, begging her to forgive him and marry him instead. But he hadn't. In fact, she'd barely seen him since that terrible day when he'd rejected her. Instead, she'd been caught up in the whirlwind of organization leading to her wedding to Lex Luthor. Apart from the demands of her new job, her husband-to-be, in one way or another, was taking up all of her time. They had to be seen together, Metropolis's most glittering couple, and so they were out almost every evening. Dinner, dancing, the theater, the opening of a gallery or museum exhibition, a reception, or anywhere Lex judged it important that they be seen. She was a performing seal, she felt sometimes. She would turn up on her fiancé's arm, smile brightly, make appropriately bland conversation with whoever Lex wished to favor with his attention, sip warm white wine, and try to pretend that she was fascinated. Lois Lane had been very carefully airbrushed out of the picture, so much so that she had been barely seen for weeks. All that people saw, or were allowed to see, was the future Mrs. Lex Luthor. And people who had known her before her engagement barely recognized her. That had been clear only the other evening when she and Lex had encountered the chief executive of Metropolis City Council at a reception. Lois had interviewed Carla Thomas a couple of times and had also butted heads with her on a number of issues since the woman had been appointed to her position. She had known that, despite their differences, Ms. Thomas respected her ability and her professionalism, and had once cited her as someone who set an example to other women by her success in a male-dominated career. She'd seen the disappointment in the other woman's eyes as they'd made meaningless small talk, and yet another tiny dagger had stabbed at her. Lois hated what she'd become. In the eyes of most people she now encountered, she'd become the little woman, arm candy, on display so that Lex Luthor could increase his stature in the eyes of other men even more. Having an attractive woman on his arm, Lois would once have vehemently argued, sent exactly the same message for a man as driving a fast car. It pampered his ego, screamed at other men, "Look at me! See how successful I am!" Now she was a man's hood ornament. Okay, sure, she still worked at LNN, but even that was little more than a sinecure these days. She was never assigned to any of the really meaty stories. That had stopped the day after she'd accepted Lex's proposal. When she'd asked why she'd been passed over for a particularly interesting investigation, her editor had said something dismissive about it being a conflict of interest. She supposed that was true. Who wanted Lex Luthor's wife to be interviewing them, or reporting on a hard news story? She was, after all, no longer the conduit. She was the story. And so she reminded herself, pausing in front of the mirror, this was her wedding day. In 3 hours' time, she would be walking down the aisle to meet her future husband, Lex. She was about to become in reality the role she had been rehearsing for the past several weeks, Mrs. Lex Luthor. A wife, a cipher, the shadow of a very powerful man. And within weeks, if not sooner, no one would even remember that she used to be Lois Lane. He would, she thought, a flicker of hope surging through her once more. He would remember, and he would regret what he'd thrown away. Well, that was if he hadn't already forgotten her, and his absence from her life did seem to suggest that he had never really cared. He'd walked away, after all, once he'd told her that he didn't believe that she really cared about him. He didn't care. He didn't want her. And so what choice did she have left? Lois asked her reflection. She could simply not marry Lex. Who said she had to be married anyway? She was 27, hardly at her last prayers. This wasn't the 18th century, after all, and not getting married was an option more and more women took these days. She herself had never believed that having a man in her life was a prerequisite to being happy or successful. If she did actually want a man, on the other hand, was Lex Luthor the one she would choose and forsake all others for? Okay, sure he was exciting. He could sweep her off her feet with his charming talk and exaggeratedly romantic gestures. He was powerful, and yet at the same time he was caring. He was a philanthropist, and he'd promised her that once they were married, she could have a charity account with $1 million or so that she could use for good causes. But she didn't love him, did she? Not the way she loved him. Lois sighed, a tear escaping from the corner of one eye. It was time to make up her mind. The organ swelled, the congregation rose to its feet, and it was time. Hesitantly, shakily, Lois put one foot in front of the other and began to walk. At the top of the aisle, she could see Lex standing there waiting for her, his dark head turned slightly so that he could see her moving towards him. She'd made up her mind. She was getting married. She didn't love Lex. So what? Many marriages had been built on much less and had been very successful. Plus, was love really all that it was cracked up to be? Didn't almost half of marriages now end in divorce? And all those couples had once thought they'd loved each other. No, marrying someone with whom one had compatible interests was a far better prescription for a successful, durable relationship. She and Lex would be fine. A tear dripped from her eye, falling onto the bouquet she carried. "Oh, my love," she cried silently, forlornly. Her prison awaited her. Her jailer smiled at her, extending one hand to her as she neared him. This was it. It was too late to turn back now. The marriage ceremony proceeded, but to Lois, it felt as if everything was happening through a kind of veil, which separated her from the rest of the world. She was actually outside her body, it seemed, observing events as if through a fuzzed lens. The woman making her responses recited them without a mistake, but the voice was lifeless, dulled, and uninterested. "Lois Lane, do you take this man for your wedded husband?" the Archbishop asked. "Say no," she urged her compliant, wraith-like double. The person wearing the wedding dress began.
I...
she continued to stammer. "Lois?" Now Lex was looking concerned. He turned to the woman in the dress, reaching out to touch her.
"Say no,"
Lois urged again.
"I..."
"No," the wraith said, and suddenly Lois was reunited with her twin. "No, I can't marry you," she enunciated clearly.
"What?" Lex began.
And then the door crashed open. "Stop the wedding," an authoritative voice demanded. "What are you doing here?" Lex demanded, sounding furious. But Lois had frozen at the sound of that voice. It was him. He had come. He'd come for her after all. Things were happening all around her now. Police were everywhere, and bafflingly, they were taking Lex away in handcuffs. But Lois was almost oblivious to all of it. All she could see was the man now standing in front of her, real and large as life. He was there. He'd come. He hadn't forgotten her after all.
"Lois, I'm so sorry," he said quietly. "Can you ever forgive me for what I did? For walking away from you? I love you. I've always loved you."
"And I love you too," she exclaimed. "You have to believe that." "I do," he said fervently. "I'll even promise to learn to live with your long hair, as long as we don't have kids. Lois Lane, will you marry me?"
"Oh, Tank, I'd love to."
Chapter 2. Their First Christmas. Lois made her way about the modest dwelling. The decorations had been up for over a week, and she still wondered how they had been able to get so much stuff up in such a small place. Nearly every available shelf or spot on a table had some sort of Christmas paraphernalia on it. Every square inch of free wall space sported Christmas-related scenes, or the cards they received from friends and loved ones. It was their first Christmas as a married couple, and both of them were going all out. Lois had to laugh. Neither of them before had been really much into Christmas. They had seen the season as hypocritical and totally commercial. Neither of them were particularly religious by nature, so it wasn't a question of any true meaning of Christmas being lost. It was just the seeming artificiality of the whole thing that had grated for so many years. But now, that had changed. For both of them. Being in love had something, no, everything, to do with that change in attitude. That was why Lois had made a point to get home before he did. She had just finished securing his final present and wanted to get it properly wrapped before he got home. She frowned, thinking of her poor husband having to work on Christmas Eve. She knew he would come home tired and sore from another hard day, but she also knew that her surprise would perk him right up. She grinned as she allowed her imagination to paint a pleasant picture as to just how perked up he might get. The present had been wrapped, and Lois took one last look at herself in the mirror as she heard his car drive up. She made one last adjustment to the Santa hat she was wearing and gave an ineffectual tug at the hem of her short and sexy red negligee. It was the one he bought her in celebration of their dual declaration of devotion to each other. Knowing that children could only ruin their relationship, they had both promised the other that their marriage would be childless. They had known that if children were to be brought up properly, they'd have to become the primary focus of that couple's life. Neither had wanted to do that. They were more than content to immerse themselves in their love for each other and not share it with anyone else. So in unique celebration of their commitment to each other, they had both undergone surgical procedures. Lois had had her tubes tied, and he'd had a vasectomy. Now there was no danger of little feet pattering around the house, even by accident. Lois wet her lips in anticipation as the front door opened and her husband came through. She could see he was tired, but the smile on his face when he spied her standing there told her that she was the balm to soothe his aches and pains. He quickly tossed his jacket aside and in two long strides had her in his arms and was soundly kissing her. Lois thought she was going to melt under the intensity of his kisses and his obvious love.
But then she always felt like that when he'd kissed her.
Fighting off her own impulses to continue, Lois managed to break his tender embrace.
"I've got a special present for you," she said, her breath just a touch bated.
A playful leer came over his features.
"I think I've already got my special present. Making love to one of Santa's little helpers will definitely give me that Christmas spirit."
She laughed. "No, that's for later." She handed him a brightly wrapped box. "I want you to open this now."
His gaze washed over her, with her Santa's hat covering her head and her flimsy nightgown causing him to flush with the heat of its promise. She could practically read his mind. Raising his brow, he accepted the shoebox-sized package and tore at the holiday-themed paper and ribbons. Once the festive wrapping had been removed, he was confronted with a plain cardboard box. In fact, it was a shoebox. Again, his brow rose as he looked at his wife.
"Open it!"
Her excitement was palpable. He flipped the lid off the box and stared in at the contents. His initial confusion quickly gave way to surprise. Then a sly grin stole over his face. The box was literally filled with long, silky strands of dark hair. He reached in and fingered the shorn locks. His grin widened as he looked toward his beloved wife. Lois answered her husband's grin with a wide one of her own as she ripped off the Santa hat and tossed it across the room. She gave her head a shake to allow the newly short layered do to fall into place.
"I got a haircut."
"So I see. Do you like it?"
"Come here."
Lois backed away in mock shyness.
"But Tank, what about the rest of the presents?"
"What presents?" He pulled her to him and captured her lips once again, only this time there was no thought of stopping to open any more presents. Those could wait until tomorrow, or maybe even the next day.
Chapter 3. Repent at Leisure.
Lois looked fondly at her husband as he struggled with the ribbon wrapping his present. For the first time in her life, she was having a memorable Christmas. Last night had been absolutely wonderful. After her husband had opened his first gift, they had retired to the bedroom, completely forgetting about all the other gifts they had under the tree. She blushed, thinking about all they had done the night before. So this morning, Christmas morning, they were both sitting next to the tree, unwrapping the remaining presents. Her husband was so thoughtful. He had bought her a nice fishing pole and a tent, so that they could both go camping. Meanwhile, he was trying to open his present. She hoped he would like it. With a grunt, her husband finally succeeded in removing the ribbon and wrapping paper from the box. Lois smiled, thinking about how meticulously he had tried to avoid tearing the paper and cutting the ribbon. He was so cute when he did that. He told her it was so they could reuse the paper next Christmas. Next Christmas. For once, she was looking forward to next year. Strangely, his obsessive compulsiveness reminded Lois of Clark. Clark was just like that, too. Now why in the world did she have to go and spoil her holidays thinking about Clark? He was no longer a part of her life now that she had quit the Daily Planet and moved to Minnesota. This was where she belonged now, not wasting her time hanging out with Clark while looking for the next big story. Newspaper reporting had been rewarding in the past. Now that she had her new husband, what more could she want? Still, she wondered how Clark was at the moment. She knew that Clark had been in love with her. He had told her so in Centennial Park that day over half a year ago. Did he still hold a torch for her? When she had said goodbye to him so many months ago, he had looked absolutely crushed, knowing that Lois was embarking on a new relationship with the love of her life, a life that no longer involved him. She knew at that point that Franklin Stern had bought the remains of the Daily Planet and had intended to reopen the newspaper. She wondered if Clark had decided to stay, or whether he had moved on like he always had in the past. She wouldn't be at all surprised if Clark had run away. He was always running away. She pitied him and thought of Clark pining away for her somewhere on the Kent farm in Kansas. Just then, a shout interrupted her reverie. Tank held up his new gift, a brand new guitar that replaced the beat-up one he'd been using. He had a huge smile plastered on his face, the smile that had haunted her dreams when she had been engaged to Lex. It was a smile that now brought tears to her eyes, making her the happiest woman in the world. "Thank you, Lois," her husband said. "It's what I've been wanting for a long time. I love it."
"And I love you."
He put the guitar down and came over to her. He wrapped his arms around her and they kissed, oh so sweetly. Lois was in heaven.
This was what the holidays should always be like. At this moment, she felt like nothing could possibly happen to ruin this Christmas. Just then, she heard a knock at the front door. She wondered who could possibly be visiting them on Christmas morning. Her husband released her and gave her a quizzical look. She shrugged in response. He walked over to the door and began opening the five locks that adorned the front door. She nearly laughed as she watched him opening lock after lock. When Lois had moved in 3 months ago, she had insisted on installing numerous locks on the doors, just as she had had in her apartment in Metropolis. Tanker told her that this area of Minnesota was very safe. Many of their neighbors even left their doors unlocked most of the time. But Lois had insisted on having those locks, so her husband had indulged her, still thinking she was crazy. With the final lock undone, Tank opened the door to find several men dressed in dark suits outside on the porch. One of them flashed a badge. "Mr. Wilson?" the man asked. "Yes," replied Tank. "We're from the government and you're under arrest." "What?" exclaimed Tank. "What for?" "We received an anonymous tip that you've been violating a number of federal laws here. You're under arrest for violating the Endangered Species Act and the Federal Wetlands Act." "How could that be?" Lois moved beside her husband and demanded to see the badge. Indeed, the man belonged to the Department of the Interior, Law Enforcement Division. "What specifically did he do to break these laws?" she asked, refusing to believe her husband could be guilty of any sort of lawbreaking. "We received a tip that some endangered species were found on your land. Placing a building on property containing endangered species is a serious violation, punishable by several years in prison." "What endangered species?" her husband asked with a sickly expression on his face. The federal agent replied, "We brought some scientists with us who have identified a rare form of dung beetle, and of all things, a spotted owl. In addition to that, the pond you have on your property contains an endangered species of salmon. Oddly, none of these animals are considered native to this area, so the only thing we can conclude is that you illegally imported them here. Tack that onto the other charges, and you're looking at some serious jail time."
"Salmon?" protested Tank. "It's a koi pond. How could there possibly be salmon in it?"
The agent ignored his exclamation and continued, "And there's one more thing. After the rainstorm you had last week, your property has been declared a protected territory under the Federal Wetlands Act, so we're going to have to seize your property as well."
"That's impossible," shouted Lois. "This has got to be some bureaucratic mix-up. We demand to see a lawyer."
"You have that right, ma'am, but we're going to have to take your husband into custody. You're free to go, by the way. The property has only your husband's name on the deed, so you're not responsible for any of these violations. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to go now." Continuing, he said, "Mrs. Wilson, because this land is now federal property, you'll have to leave the premises immediately." The man turned to one of his companions and said, "Please escort Mrs. Wilson to the car." He then waved at some men in construction hats. Lois watched in horror as men began swarming over their house, planting what looked like explosives. She turned to the agent and asked, "What are they doing to our house?" The agent answered, "Since this land qualifies for protection under the Endangered Species Act, no man-made structures are permitted to be on the property because they disturb the habitats of the protected animals. My men are here to make sure the structure is removed as quickly as possible." Still too astonished to believe what was happening, Lois watched as agents placed handcuffs on her husband and then led him away. He looked back at her with worry on his face. She then felt herself being dragged away from the porch to another car. Looking out the window of the car, she watched as men streamed away from the house. Moments later, she was startled by the sudden explosion that came from her former home. Flames licked at the house as she watched the structure collapse. Tears came streaming down her face. This was certainly the worst Christmas she had ever had in her life. Far up above the house, Clark hovered, watching the proceedings below. He smiled as he watched the wreckage of what used to be Lois's house. His heart broke a bit when he saw Lois cry, but he hardened his heart as he remembered how she had trampled over his feelings. Though he was still in love with Lois, he knew she would never come to love him. She still couldn't believe he'd been dumped, first for Luther, then for that guitar player. So if he couldn't have her, no one would.